Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. Today is Tuesday, May 26th, and I'm so happy to be back on the air and to be able to talk with you this evening. I would like to remind you that this show does take callers, and the call-in number is 646-787-8522. And I do want to open the show in prayer. So, Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, Father, that you have given me the opportunity to try to speak some of your heart out there into the world and to the ears of those who are listening. And, God, I just ask that this show be turned over into your hands, that these words are not my words. These are your words that come directly from your word, God, from the Bible, and I just thank you, Father, for the understanding, the ability to have this opportunity to understand. So I pray that the spirit of wisdom and understanding will be upon each of us, and that we don't take people's words for it, but that we open up our own Bibles, that we open up the Word, and that we look into the meaning and the understanding and the context of Scripture before and after, just not always the ones that are quoted, because it can mean something completely different if quoted out of context. So, God, I am I'm just your servant, Lord. I pray that I have my cloak of humility on, that I am here to just spread the gospel, because you have anointed me to be able to do this. And I thank you for that, God. And I turn this over to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, hi, everybody. Well, I was thinking about what to talk about today. And I believe that the topic of hope came up in my mind. I started thinking about how so many people are walking around without hope in their lives, and the dreams that God created us with have been stolen, just completely robbed from them. So, you know, Jesus said to us in John 10:10 that he came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. More abundantly. Okay, the first part of that scripture says that the devil comes as a thief to steal, kill, and destroy. So immediately this scripture tells us, you know, Jesus, with being God and just being so amazed with the wisdom and how he could say things in parables and how he just, anyway, I could go on and on about that. But it's so exciting. But that scripture has two distinct separate parts in it. And I believe there was a reason that he told us that he came to give us life more abundantly, and that the enemy comes to steal that away from us. God planned out our destiny long before we were ever born. You know, he says to us, and I say the scripture a lot because I find it fascinating, said in Psalms 139:16, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God created each of us for our destiny, and our destiny is a part of a long plan that extends before and after us. So, you know, nothing is taking God by surprise in our lives, even though we don't seem to quite understand what's going on. And even if you've been a Christian for years, things are ever changing. The Word is alive. Times change. People come in and out of our lives. So many things and circumstances happen. And so we don't always, you know, we have to go to God. We have to look to him and ask him for that knowledge and direction. But God created you with a dream in your heart. Every person was created with a dream in their heart. So, Father, I would also like to add a quick prayer here. And I would like to just take a few minutes. And for everyone that's listening, I would like to just pause for, you know, 15 seconds here. And just think about, what is the dream that God placed in your heart? So, Father, show them Show them what it is that you have placed in their hearts, why they were born. What does their script say? What does this book say, God, that you wrote a person was born in this world? So just take a moment and think about that. So show them. Open up the supernatural ability to understand, God, what you placed in their hearts. If you didn't hear something then or see something, don't fret. Just take some time in your prayer and just go to God and say, God, show me. What is my destiny? Okay, I'm saying thank you, God, for that. And, you know, I'm talking about this subject because it's near to my own heart. I have spent the whole past year saying, why was I born? What does God want me to do? And walking on this tightrope of some sort of fear of, am I going to do the wrong thing? What if I miss doing the right thing? And God doesn't want us to have that. That's not from God. So I just want to share with you what I've been learning because it may help someone in their journey to move quicker. Then I was able to have peace and joy in your heart. So when God created us with that dream in our heart, and he gives us so many wonderful promises in his word about the desires of our hearts. In Psalms 37, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So that scripture all by itself tells us that God, he desires to give us the desires of our heart. And he desires for us to have all good things. But just as any parent, when we desire to give our children good things, and, you know, even an ice cream, you know, when they're little and they want an ice cream and it's really not the best time to eat it. There's times as a parent that I said, sure, you can have this ice cream because they were so happy. And God in his infinite wisdom knows when the perfect time is to give us the things that our hearts desire. But it is always his will and his purpose for us to have those things, because he put those things in our hearts. In Ecclesiastes 6:10, it says, that which has been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. In Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And that's in a Psalm. I believe today too many people are walking around without this understanding. The understanding of their destiny and that their dreams have been stolen. And their dreams were stolen because the enemy, the thief, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And, you know, I was thinking about this today. Sometimes I feel like a Joan of Arc in today's world. You know, I feel really angry that the devil has so much of the world deceived, that so many people are desperate, absolutely desperate. And, you know, we can talk about homelessness, hunger. But let's take it even deeper. Their hearts are broken. Their hearts are empty and shattered. And they don't even know that they were born with a dream in their heart. So I feel really angry about that. And I was thinking about it today. And I was like, God, how am I supposed to feel, you know, towards Satan? You know, am I to love him? Can I hate him? And God says we are to hate every evil thing. So if we soften our perspective, then we can allow it to creep into our life. And God tells us in Romans, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In Psalms 97, he says, you who love the Lord, hate evil and love good. In Psalms 45, he says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. So, as you know, we could go on and on talking about how the Lord, he hates evil, and we know that Satan is the father of all lies, that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil hated Jesus and used everything at his disposal to prevent him from a successful mission. And God says to us, he who hates me hates my Father also. So if God and Jesus hate sin and evil, and Satan is the author of it, and he embodies it, then certainly I believe we are justified to hate what God hates. I hate evil. I am tired of the devil just jumping in there and having people all lassoed up like they're a calf out on the range and hopeless and helpless. And that's not true. The truth is that Jesus already defeated the enemy, that he defeated the enemy at his death. And not only that, he paraded him around to show that he has already defeated him. But I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself because I'm really excited about that part. But when we pay close attention to the verse, we see that John 10:10, that the verse does not say that the thief can steal from us, or he can kill us, or he can destroy us. It states purpose in coming is to steal, kill, and destroy. And the good news is that he can't do anything if we do not allow him to do it. So Scripture affirms more than one place, but in 1 Peter 5:8, he says to us, be sensible and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. He tells us in James, therefore submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice that our adversary seeks people he can devour. In other words, if we don't allow him to devour us meaning our health, our finances, our family, then he can't. He absolutely has no power to do that. The Apostle James tells us to resist the devil when he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When we resist him, he flees from us. In other words, he is afraid of Christians and the power that resides in us as born-again children of the Most High God. So this touches on our identity, and I believe this is a topic that you can find going on in the Christian world in a lot of areas. So if you want to begin to understand your identity in God, there's a lot of studies. I think there are even books now out there on this subject. But I think that was something that was missing in the churches for a very long time, is our identity. And so I think I'm going to get to that in a few more minutes as well. But it is important to know that you have the power. Satan does not have the power over you, and that we are children of God. Okay, we are children of the Most High God, Abba, our Father. So, why does he come to do these things to us? It must be because a thief wouldn't risk the possibility of being caught or punished by trying to steal something that has no value. When a thief comes to steal, it is because he knows that the rightful person or business possesses something to steal. That is why he comes. If there is nothing to steal, he would not bother coming around, being close to us, because he wouldn't be worried about us. But he wants to steal from us because he is worried. He cannot steal what one does not have, and you cannot destroy what does not exist. So that means that we already have the things that he is coming for. I think some Christians have little or no understanding of everything that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. And even less understanding of the things that we already possess as heirs of God and as joint heirs with Christ. And that's is said in Romans 8:17 that we are we already possess these things as heirs of God and as joint heirs of Christ. And I believe that's because the average Christian has been involved in religious, traditional practices, traditional doctrines, and you know, they have little Bible knowledge. I mean, how many people really sit and read your Bible? It is extremely important to read the Bible and to understand what it contains. And consequently, what a lot of people believe for the most part is not New Testament teaching based upon Scripture, but rather religious interpretation of the Bible and denominational doctrines. So I think this is why the enemy is able to freely come and go as he pleases to steal, kill, and destroy. And I believe it's a time when God is breaking down these denominational walls, and it's time that we look for ourselves, that we open up the Scripture, that we spend time in relationship with God, and that we allow ourselves to be strengthened. It says that the strength, the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Nehemiah 18, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Satan's after our joy. He loves to steal our joy. If he can steal our joy, he can steal our strength. Joy is a spiritual force. Okay. He also wants to steal. What else? What else would we have that he would want to steal? He wants to steal our healing. In Isaiah 53, it states to us, "Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And his stripes, and through his stripes we are healed." And it says in 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." The average Christian is still waiting for God to heal them, when the Word of God clearly states we have already been healed. Okay, it doesn't say, "I'm going to heal you." No, it says you were healed. And by faith, believing in what Christ already accomplished for us and receiving it by faith, we can be healed. Okay, I know this is like a big subject because we don't have a faith meter that we can place on top of somebody's head or that Scripture says. And I think the devil is trying to blind us, and he is trying to steal from us a lot of things that are rightfully ours. And I think it's time that we begin to think on these things in a deeper way, and we take back what God has already done for us. The devil knows that the average Christian doesn't even realize that they've already been healed. He wants to take it from us before it can manifest in our own body. He steals it the same way he stole Adam's inheritance, by deception. He convinces those that lack Bible knowledge that it has not been done yet because they can't see it. And we know that the Scripture tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. In 2 Corinthians 5:7. A lot of people are sitting in darkness, feeling like, "Why won't God deliver me? Why won't he take care of this situation?" And there are circumstances and there are times when God lets us be in them for a period of time. God never afflicts someone with something negative or a sickness. I don't think that. But I know that the devil wants to steal our freedom. And the average Christian can still be sitting around waiting for God to help them when he says in Scripture that we have already been delivered, that we have been redeemed. So if we have redemption, then that means we have been delivered. So the thief knows, and he comes to steal. Once again, you can't steal what one does not have. So he puts forth these lies, these deceptions, and the same tricks trying to convince you and I that God has not or will not deliver us from whatever we are facing. Okay, that is a lie. God will deliver us. He promises to. He has already given us redemption, and we have already been delivered. It also says that God has provided for us supernaturally. That the devil, though, wants to steal our provision and prosperity. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, he says to us, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, may be rich." Now, why would Jesus go through these things? Why would the word, if we're Christians, well, that means that we read the Bible and we have accepted what it says to become a Christian, and we trust in the faith that God has given us, and we can come to him and say, "Help me with my unbelief." But we can trust that he is telling us the truth when he gives us these scriptures. Sorry, I'm getting really excited, but a lot of people as Christians sit around hoping that the Lord will see fit to provide for them the things that they need. And yet the Bible clearly states that God has, and he will continue to provide for us, making sure that everything we need is available and accessible to us. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, he tells us clearly that everything we will ever need, require, or desire was provided for us on the same day that Jesus took our sins, allowing us to become citizens of heaven and the sons and daughters of God. But the thief knows this, and again, he tries to steal from us. So I'm going to talk about, I think, just one more thing here, and I've touched on it already, but the devil really loves to steal our joy. And, you know, the Apostle Paul, who went through so many things, he says, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." A lot of people can read this and they're like, "Oh, no, we're troubled, we have problems, we're persecuted," you know, naming all these negative things. But Paul leaves this verse on a note of victory. He says, "I might get knocked down, but you're never going to knock me out." There's a difference in being knocked down and knocked out. I've been knocked down a few times. It's natural. It hurts. You fall down. It might even take a little while, longer than you would desire, but you're going to get back up. And Christ said to us very clearly that Satan comes immediately to steal the word through affliction, persecution, the cares of this world, the lust of other things, and the deceitfulness of riches. So there's so many things that the enemy is trying to steal from us. And why would he want to steal the word? Because, well, the word produces joy in our hearts. When we read the word and realize that it's God's will for us to prosper, to be in good health, that produces joy on the inside of us. In Nehemiah 8:10, as I've already stated, it says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." He's after that. He is after that, everybody. He's after your dreams. He's after your strength. And he does not want us to succeed in this life. He wants us to feel sad and broken and hurt. So if the devil has ever tried to steal something from you, and he's done it to everybody, so everybody can relate. There's something that God says that you can do to get it back. that he cannot keep what he stole from you. If you want it back, Jeremiah 33:11 says, "The voice of joy and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, says the Lord." So when would praise feel like a sacrifice? When you do not feel like praising. So when the devil has just attacked you, God is saying, if you will maintain your joy no matter what the devil brings against you, I'm going to. I'm going to give it back to you. In Proverbs 6:31, he says, "I am going to make him restore it to you seven times." So don't let the devil get your joy. I just want to encourage you. Don't let him defeat you by stealing your joy from you. Remember, when you don't have any joy, when you don't have a song in your heart, when you don't have that dream, then you don't have any strength. And that's when he can come in and rob you of everything that you have. So Satan has no refuge when joy is present, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. So it's wonderful to give the Lord a sacrifice of praise. So, that's some of my thoughts. This is really exciting. But I just want to encourage everyone to have hope. And I'm going to take a call now. Caller 816-787.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Mitzi. How are you?
Hi, good. Who's
my
calling?
My phone keeps trying to... This is Teresa. My phone keeps trying to recall you over and over and over again. At one time, I had called out to you, so that's saying something.
Oh, that's okay. Well, how's it going, Teresa? I've been thinking about you.
I'm staying in faith and moving forward in some positive areas. I got some word from Cindy the other day that has me like holding my breath.
Oh.
Regarding dark family secrets. So those are a little unnerving to say the least. I think I've been preparing for that for a long time. And in the process, I'm still trying to move forward so that I have a healthy home environment to give the love out that and the comfort that may be needed when these words come out. Because I was researching all over, you know. I have this little part here that I'm not understanding and anything with that. Dark family secrets, those are not very positive things to come out. I'm holding my breath. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just picking up on like some anticipation, maybe some fear. It feels like
absolutely.
In your voice.
Some fear. Dark, you know, those deep-seated fears that, you know, that when those come out, that that the reaction that is from me will be that they'll be able to receive that as joy and comfort, and it's not their fault from those things. And at the same time, waiting on a home. I've been calling every 2 weeks, and I keep getting this, it'll be ready in 2 weeks. And this would be a new dwelling that would be fresh and new. And I'm already preparing to get, to eliminate, to sell a lot of the things that were from the family home that might be a trigger for a negative remembering.
Mm-hmm.
So, and moving forward, getting all the necessary requirements so I can go back to my profession. Because of the destruction that had been given, it took me away from my career, and it's time for me to go back, because if I can go back and be strong, then that will show my children that we can heal and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I absolutely know that will happen for you, that you can heal and move forward. God has done that in my own life in a really big way. And I know it's really hard, especially because you've been in this trial for a very long time. And but you, I hear your anticipation and concern, but I also hear a little bit more excitement in your voice. And I feel like it sounds like you're right at the wall of breakthroughs. You know, it's just like you're right at the edge of all this totally changing. Is that how you feel? Do you feel like it's just right at breakthrough?
Yes, I'm right there. I'm right there.
You sure are. I can tell. I can feel it. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to take a second here and just pray. Father in heaven, I come before your throne boldly with Teresa, God. And she has been in this trial for a very long time, and her heart is heavy. And Father, we just nail in the name of Jesus, we pray and command that heaviness be lifted off of her. And Father, that you put a new banner above her head from this day forward that is of praises to you, of singing, of dancing, a banner of love, God, because she has been through a hard, hard trial. And the devil has tried to steal everything from her. But he's a liar. He is a liar, and we are going to call him a liar on this day. And I stand with Teresa, and we stand in agreement, God, that he not only has to repay her, he has to repay her seven times everything that he has taken from her. All the joy that's been lost from her has to be returned. God, we pray now in the name of Jesus, and we are seeking what is hers, what is rightfully hers through the scripture. And God, I stand with her. And your army needs to move forward, God. It is time to release us to move forward, to take back the things that have been stolen from all of us. And God, I just pray with my sister. And I ask that you put people in her path to comfort her. I ask that you put all the right people in her path so that she feels safety, that she feels secure. Father, that when she just release this new home to her quickly. God, I pray for breakthrough right now, that there is nothing holding her back, that you will send your angels, that they will do a mighty war for her. And Father, that she will praise you in the land to all the people, and that they will see what a mighty God you are. So Father, I pray that you be upon her hand, and that you bless her in her new home, that you bless her family to be restored, her children, Father, for their hearts to be healed. And I pray for her heart to be healed, and that the brokenness that has been in her heart, God, that you are putting each of those pieces back together, and that, God, she will not feel this deep sadness any longer. It's going to be gone. The devil is a liar. God, we know that you already have claimed the victory, that you paraded Satan in his defeat. And that when the time comes and the world looks upon him, when you're getting ready to cast him away, we're all going to say, this is him. This is who caused all that trouble. So, God, the enemy likes to scare people. He likes to puff himself up. And he's mean and he's evil. And it is time, Father, that Teresa can see that there are more for her than against her. And I release this to her, Father. And I pray that you give her dreams and you give her visions and that you show her, Father, the good future that you have in store for her, and that she can let it sink into her spirit, and that she will walk to your words, God, and no fear. And I cast it out now in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you, Father, for this love that you're pouring into her heart. And he's just showing me a picture of flowers growing, just like real quick, like all this new, fresh, beautiful flowers and a new soil. And so, Father, we just pray that the old has passed away and that there's room for the new and that you give her the strength, Father, because she is tired and weary, but those days are quickly fading. Give her the strength. Life's just way too short for this sadness. Help her to find songs to sing to you, God, and I pray you sing over her in the night, just like you promise you do, that she can even hear it. Father, I thank you for my sister, and I ask that there's no more delay, and I ask that you restore this family 7 times, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, I was feeling that for you, Teresa.
Thank you, Mitzi.
Oh, you're welcome, and I'm going to keep you on my prayer list here, but, you know, just ask God to show you what your dream is, what your vision is, and just keep that out in front of you. And just remember that God's not limited. He's not limited. He's huge. Release your faith, Teresa. Just release your faith and just let all that good come. And I know what it feels like to be hurt deeply, deeply. And it's a bad thing. I understand that. I'm not minimizing that. But I know God has you at the moment of breakthrough, and I really feel like you're through it. So I can't wait to talk to you the next time and hear all the good news and to hear about your new home and the happiness that's going to be there.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be good. It's all going to be okay, and it's going to be good. Because, you know, God, he loves you so much. He loves, and he came for the brokenhearted. He came for you, and he loves you. Just keep calling out to him and talk to him, and just believe the good. Believe in the good. It's there. The devil's the one that's the liar and says everything has to be painful and bad. And my husband and I just went through a really long, tough trial, and it was kind of more my husband's than mine, but because it affected him, it affected me, and it looked impossible. It was a legal matter. It looked absolutely impossible, and I've worked in the legal field all my life. I talked to every attorney, every good attorney in a couple states around me, and nobody could figure this out, and I'm going to tell you, and I'm not going to talk about the details, but God completely got rid of it. It's only been like 3 weeks ago. So,
oh my.
That was a miracle. It was a miracle. It happened. And so God can just do anything. He can do anything. This one I really thought, I knew God was going to take care of it, but I just didn't know how. And it did happen in the strangest of ways. But care of it. So just don't give up. And I'll keep praying for you. And there's going to, I'm sure, be other people that are praying. And I know Cindy loves you and is looking out for you. So just be strong. Just be strong, okay?
Okay.
And just picture yourself. You know, picture yourself with a banner over you that says love and it says praise. You're marching on the front lines. You are there, too. You're going to have people walking right behind you. You're going to be holding this victory banner. And a lot of people that have been hurt are going to be marching right behind you because they need people who have gone through it and know that God takes them out on the other side stronger and better than when they went in. And he's going to do that for you. He's doing it right now. I just have complete belief. And I will just, like I said, keeping you in my prayers here.
Thank you, Mitzi. I think that when we're at that line of breakthrough, that we experience that fear and anxiety because we're getting ready to cross that finish line, and
yeah.
through the trial, we encounter so many things that we have to bend to, or we get down to one knee that. When you're almost there and you can see it in the end, I've been so afraid that I'm going to get blindsided once again.
Mm-hmm. Father, we're just going to speak to that, and we're going to say absolutely not. Teresa is not going to have any more fear. She's going to walk in strength. She's going to walk in power. She's going to walk in authority because she is the daughter of the Most High God. God, I pray that you are holding her hand. We know you are, but let her feel it even more so tonight. Rest your hand on her, Father. She needs your strength to get through the last tiny bit of this. And no more delay. No more delay. No more tactics from the enemy. God, just surround her with your angels, your warrior angels, your fire angels, your messenger angels. Surround her and lift her up, God, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Mitzi.
Thank you so much. Yeah, God's. I'm like a flower over here, trying to push through the dirt, trying to learn how to do this. He's watering me a little bit. I can breathe now. For the first couple of months, I couldn't breathe hardly. I felt like when I was talking, I couldn't breathe at the same time. So some of the nervousness is going away.
Well, good, because. Some nights I can't listen to you live, so that I do listen to you while I'm at work. Whether or not they went to it or not, some of your message has rang some similarity to some other individuals, and I've referred them to your program and to your website as well. And if they can't go for that reach, then that's on them, but they'll have that seed planted.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Teresa, I have a question just popped in my mind. If you could tell the world, just if you could write a book and tell people like just this one thing to help them, what do you think you would tell them?
Never give up.
That's a big one. Never give up.
Never give up. Yes, you know, we think that when we're middle-aged adults that we've overcome, that we went through those trials and tribulations through childhood, and that we've overcome. And when we have that challenge again, a deep core challenge, and it blindsides us, it can take you to a knee. It can take you all the way down, maybe where you only have a hand up in the air. Do you still have that hand up in the air?
Mm-hmm.
Once you have that hand up in the air, you can overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you think you don't have the hand up in the air. There's been times I didn't feel like I had the hand up in the air.
And see, you know, and God tells us, he says, you know, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So people that scare us are... make our lives difficult, if they're not building their foundation on Jesus, which they aren't, then the fire is going to come, and it's going to be revealed, and it's going to burn all that away, and they won't have any foundation to stand on, but you're going to have that foundation. So, and this show's getting ready to cut off. We've got just a couple seconds here, but so you're building your foundation, and God's looking out after you, and he's made you strong through this fire. You have been walking through the fire, and he's been burning away anything that could keep you from complete success. And what you're going through here not only lasts here, but also for all eternity. So I really admire you. You just be strong and hang in there, okay?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good week.
Bye, you too. Teresa. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so I'd just like to remind everybody that we just have a second here, but there are rewards. There are rewards in heaven, and I don't think we even have any idea all the exciting things that is ahead. What we go through now is not just for now; it's for eternity. We have to lift our eyes up. We have to look further down the road. We have to look into the supernatural. So I just implore you, look for that dream in your heart and hang on to it. Bring it back to the light. Keep your vision in front of you. And I just thank each of you for listening. And so until next Tuesday, this is Missy at Healing Hearts His Way.